You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Before we get to our first segment, we do want to bring you some breaking news. Governor Brad Little activated the Idaho National Guard this morning to help the state's Department of Correction as well as Primary Health Medical Group. 75 members of the Guard will step in to help because so many people at both places are out sick with COVID-19. The governor is also sending 500 personnel to Idaho's hospitals, which are overwhelmed by COVID. We will, of course, have more on this story on All Things Considered, as well as Morning Edition and on our Doctor's Roundtable coming up Wednesday. On Saturday, about 200 people went to a potluck outside the former Ada County Courthouse. They were there to support a homeless demonstration, which has been going on for about 2 weeks. Another 70 people gathered across the street in a counter-protest condemning the ongoing demonstration. So we wanted to know what happened when these two sides met. We also wanted to dive deeper into why people who struggle to find a place to live are living in tents in downtown Boise. So joining us live are Ian Stevenson and Sally Kurtzig. Both are reporters with the Idaho Statesman. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Gemma.
So Sally, can I start with you? And let's go back a couple of weeks. So who are the people who have put their tents up next to the Idaho State House as well as on the lawn of the former Ada County Courthouse? And why are they there?
So we're really seeing two groups out there right now. One is Boise Mutual Aid, which is a group that started on social media and kind of tries to share resources, organize action around need for resources and that kind of thing. And the second group is homeless people themselves. There are a number of people out there who do not have a home right now. They're living out of their cars, sleeping, on public land. And, they want to bring attention to the fact that they have nowhere else to go at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And Sally, these tents popped up, it seems like, right as Interfaith Sanctuary ran out of beds for people who don't have a place to live, correct?
That's right. On January 14th, about 2 weeks ago, for the first time in its history, Interfaith ran out of beds and ended up having to put a tent up out in the parking lot, and people were, sleeping on mats on the ground.
So, Ian, the idea of a counter-protest came from a Facebook page of the group Idaho Liberty Dogs. Now, while their Facebook post did advocate a peaceful protest, some of the comments on the post implied violence. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So last week, leading up to the protest, as you mentioned, some fears developed that violence might be advocated at the protest because some of the comments left on the page called the unhoused protesters and their supporters garbage, saying that if the police won't do their job, maybe we should do it for them. One commenter suggested baseball bats could help clean up the space where they're holding their demonstration. And another said that it would help if they brought AR-15s or even flamethrowers. So these were people leaving comments on Facebook, but I think there was some anxiety that this could develop and erupt into violence.
Mm-hmm. And Ian, you were actually at the old Ada County Courthouse on Saturday. Can you just begin with how things started, which was a potluck, and maybe why they wanted to have this type of gathering?
Absolutely. So the potluck was organized in response to this counter-protest by the unhoused demonstrators and their supporters. And so at about noon on Saturday, people began gathering where tables were set up to host food and to have a potluck that afternoon. It was very cold, below freezing that day. And then about an hour later, a group of people by Cecil DeAndres Park began gathering and then marched over to the south side of Jefferson Street. So there were about 70 on the Liberty Dog side and about 200 on the side of the unhoused people. And they began basically shouting at each other. Once the Liberty Dogs came over, they began shouting at the unhoused demonstrators, saying things like, why don't you just get a job, or that they don't want tent cities in Boise. And some of the group of unhoused people and their supporters responded by yelling back at them. So it was pretty tense and rowdy at times, but for the most mm-hmm. part, Over the next few hours, both groups stayed roughly a street's width apart, and I didn't see any violence break out.
If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce you to our guests, Idaho Statesman reporters Ian Stevenson and Sally Kurtzig. They cover homelessness in Boise, in particular this homeless demonstration that's been going on for about 2 weeks now in downtown Boise. So, Sally, I think it's important that we talk about the lack of shelter space that did lead to this homeless demonstration. You talked to some of the folks at Interfaith when the shelter filled up a few weeks ago, and they had to open up two large heated tents in the parking lot, as you mentioned, including one gentleman named Randy. Can you talk to us about his story?
Yeah, so Randy recently was in the hospital for a stroke. He was in the hospital for some time. And when he got out, he went home and his wife had left all his possessions out on the front lawn. And, you know, he was not allowed back in the home. So he found himself for the very first time in his life. You know, he's in his 50s, I believe, homeless, and he had nowhere to go. So the only place he could turn was Interfaith, and they were full. So, you know, this man who's never been homeless suddenly found himself sleeping in a tent in a parking lot.
And Ian, you did talk to both sides at Saturday's protests. Can you talk a little bit about that? But also, was there any common ground to be found?
Sure, Gemma. So I think in short, the protests on Saturday displayed pretty deeply divergent views on the causes of homelessness in this city. On the one hand, unhoused people and their supporters talked about the lack of affordable housing in the Treasure Valley, the difficulty finding work that pays a livable wage, the lack of space at the city's low barrier emergency shelter, and the lack of social services that are available for people. Demonstrators were chanting that housing is a human right and that Boise renters today could become Boise's homeless population tomorrow. And on the other side of the street, where the Liberty Dogs Facebook group counter-protest had gathered, protesters there were, if I can generalize their statements, rather dismissive of these arguments. These counter-protesters stated that housing is not a human right, said that they thought people experiencing homelessness in the city are generally addicted to drugs or simply have chosen to not try and improve their circumstances. And I should note that I spoke with a number of unhoused people assembled at the demonstration, and those were not the problems that I heard them voice. One woman I spoke with told me that she's a certified cosmetologist, but that she's unable to work because of a disability. And I heard stories of domestic violence, of relationships gone wrong, and other personal tragedies that have left people without a place to stay at night and pushed them out onto the street. Mm. So from my reporting, there seemed to be quite a range of reasons that people in Idaho experience homelessness.
Well, and Ian, how much, I mean, in these conversations that you had, did the idea of frankly, the cost of housing come up? I mean, was that a conversation to be had at all? Because, I mean, you know, so many people are being priced out.
Certainly. And there was a lot of discussion. One woman who's been living out of her car told me that she had been living in a rented trailer home in Eagle, but simply last year became unable to afford the rent and had to leave and had nowhere else to go. And you had asked me previously about whether there was any common ground. There mm-hmm. were a couple of instances where protesters from one side or the other walked over to the other side of the street and attempted to engage in a conversation about some of the issues facing people experiencing homelessness. And Dwayne Anders, the pastor of Cathedral to Rockies, who was there to support the homeless and try to keep things peaceful, he told me that he noticed those conversations and thought that there were at least a couple of instances of people trying to engage on these issues and possibly figure out solutions.
Mm-hmm. Ian, was there any type of police presence there? Because as we know, I mean, this was, I think there was a lot of concern that there would be violence. I mean, there ended up not being, I mean, as you mentioned, tense moments, but was there any type of presence there to keep both sides safe?
There was. There were a couple of Idaho State Police troopers who I saw sort of keeping an eye on North 6th Street of the protest. And I should mention that the place where the demonstration by the homeless population there has been is on the Capitol Mall. So it's under the jurisdiction of the state police. And then there were two Boise police officers who actually during a couple of points walked the length of the protest and encouraged people to stay off of the street to not get hit by cars. And an officer with BPD told me that he was just there to make sure that both sides could express their First Amendment rights. So, but the police presence was quite limited, and it ended up seeming that there really wasn't much of a need for police because things, though they got rowdy, stayed pretty peaceful.
Mm-hmm. And Ian, in the story that you wrote this weekend, the last quote in your article on the counter-protest was from the head of Interfaith Sanctuary, Jody Peterson-Steigers. I was hoping maybe you could read that quote for us.
Absolutely. So I talked to her a bit about the counter-protest that had developed against the people experiencing homelessness. And she told me that she was frustrated with their messaging because she said that in her experience, the reasons for homelessness are complicated and diverse, and that the issues people face can range from not qualifying for certain types of subsidized housing to having trouble getting hired because of a past felony or not having a proper ID or even being disabled. So she said that there are a million different reasons why people experience homelessness and that it's not fair to tell a multifaceted group of people that they all have the same problem. And so she told me, I don't understand, quote, I don't understand why people would come all the way downtown to yell at people who don't have housing.
So, Ian, how did you feel on Saturday when everything was over? But also, what was the mood like for the folks who were staying in these tents when all of this was finished?
I think it definitely felt like it was a tense environment during the protest. And I think for the most part, there was a lot of shouting and not a lot of agreement on various issues. But I think the sense I got from the people staying in the tents and the people who are part of that protest of the unhoused people there was that they're pretty committed to asking city and state leaders to come up with solutions to the problems of skyrocketing rents, of difficulty finding jobs that pay good wages. And so I think they seem pretty committed to standing their ground there and having their protests continue.
Mm-hmm. So Sally, can we talk a little bit more about that then? I mean, what do we know about the tent protest continuing? I mean, I drive by it Monday through Friday, and it seems that it's not going anywhere soon.
Yeah, that has been something that surprised me as well. The first time I went down there to talk to some of the people, I said, you know, well, how long are you planning for this to go on? And their response was indefinitely. They plan to stay out there until they see some real action happening. And I think, you know, part of the motivation is they don't have anywhere else to go. So there's not, you know, if they picked up and took their tent, they would just be back in their cars.
And so, Sally, what happens in regards to jurisdiction? And Ian mentioned this because I think some people may not understand how this works, but this does fall under the jurisdiction of the state police. So even though this protest is happening in downtown Boise, how much does that play into the city of Boise, you know, listening or getting involved or frankly, even Boise police coming in and policing it?
Right. There's been some really interesting legal discussions happening. The reason they're able to stay on that property in front of the old courthouse is because it is state-owned land, not city-owned land. So like the Capitol building and the Capitol grounds, those are also state, and then some of the property surrounding it. So because of that, they are allowed to stay there, and it is up to Idaho State Police to, you know, if there are any problems, they're the ones who are in charge of it. And, you know, the mayor has said that is state jurisdiction, and, you know, Boise police are going to stay out of it for the most part. And so there's definitely an interesting discussion going on around, you know, where can they stay exactly, and who's going to be monitoring that? There's a lot of legal aspects that go into this.
And before we wrap up, Sally, I mean, that goes into where would they stay? Because there's still a lack of beds for the unhoused in Boise.
That's right. There's the shelter still has people out in the parking lot. They are still overflowing. And I do think it's important right now for people to remember that recently Oxford Economics found Boise is the least affordable housing market across mm-hmm. the United States. And there are going to be housing issues that spring from that. And whether, you know, whatever you think the solution should be, we should have some empathy around, you know, that Boise is in a very unique position right now.
Right. Whether you like it or not. I want to thank both of you for talking to us about this, of course, for the reporting that you do for the Idaho Statesman. We've been talking with reporters Ian Stevenson and Sally Kurtzik about a homeless demonstration that's going on in downtown Boise. We will, of course, link their stories on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. I want to thank both of you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us, Gemma.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.